ancora singer soul. Le cine vorto e stepping in prosa. CGM TV.
Hello everyone, welcome to Friday, January 26th edition of Living Life. You know, on the last episode, we talked about understanding each other's culture. However, in the general culture, or the culture that we all belong to, there are certain cultural norms that are cool or accepted, and those that are uncool and not accepted. I'll give you an example. So I remember going to this one beach in San Diego. Now, I heard of this interesting beach where some people far away, they actually go nude. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go near that colony, but I would like to go and swim in this beautiful ocean. So a bunch of my friends went down. Now, as we're swimming, there were a group of people who seemed like they're from France, from Europe. And they wanted to sunbathe. And we're in our surfer trunks, you know, that come down to our knees. We have our surfboards, and some of us have our boogie boards, and we're playing out there. And these guys are getting, taking off their pants. And lo and behold, they're wearing a very European swimming shorts that was very tight. It was very tight. It was very red. And it was very underwear looking. And we all looked at that. We're like, oh man, that is so interesting that, but they were so okay with it. Well, most of the Americans that were hanging out, they were kind of like, oh, not okay with it. There was something a little off about that. Well, in today's passage, there was something that some people were doing that were crossing some cultural norms. Let's take a look at that today.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. I praise you for remembering me in everything, and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, and every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. And if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off, she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory. For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God.
Now, today's passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 to 16, is one of the most controversial or heavily debated passages in the New Testament. Many go back and forth on this passage, and they highlight women's roles. They're highlighting women in ministry. They're highlighting all kinds of things, and I'm not going to get into all of that. I just want to highlight a few things. And in verse 2, it says, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. So in the church, and just in Judaism and Christianity, one by one, the church is building tradition, you know, as many of our churches have tradition. For example, our church traditionally, we have a Christmas Day worship. We have a New Year's Eve service. Some of you guys at church, you guys have a tradition of eating tteokguk at your church. I mean, there's all kinds of different kinds of cultures and traditions that we build up. And one of the major traditions that have been upheld by Paul and by the church is this tradition of women covering their head. Now, there's also debate as to, oh, what are they talking about? What is Paul talking about? Hair? Or is it talking about a special type of head covering, as we see many Middle Easterners do? And even in our American churches, traditional American churches, you'll see many women wearing these fancy hats. Well, what was going on is there is this tradition of women coming to church traditionally, wearing certain head coverings. In the New Testament, head covering being a sign of humility, some sign of submission, a sign of decency, all kinds of meanings connected to this head covering. And I guess what was going on here was some women were practicing prayer and prophesying without these head coverings. So kind of going off of tradition for one reason or another. And we don't know exactly what the reason is, but definitely it was very controversial. Now, I know that's very something that happens today even in modern churches, right? One of the biggest ones was when drums came in. Before that, it was all classical piano, and there was this disruption of drums coming on in, or people dressing differently. Traditionally, at this Korean church, it's suit and tie, but English ministry pastors, they don't wear suit and ties, a lot of them. There's always challenges tradition, but this one was something that was way beyond. And women were coming out, and there's nothing wrong with women. It doesn't say anything about women not prophesying. They could prophesy. They could pray. But what was happening is some of these folks were disrupting tradition and disrupting service, and really kind of bringing some kind of turmoil, or they were bringing some kind of circumstances into the church where people were making an uproar about that. Paul is saying basically this, whatever you guys decide to do in the church, understand the norms of the church and respect the traditions of the church and try to bring order and unity within worship. This passage, it's all about order. There is a certain order. God is a God of order, right? There is a certain order about worship service. If a pastor is preaching a message, even if somebody disagrees, they're not supposed to stand up and say, hey, I disagree with you, I mean, there's a certain order. You could disagree. You could talk to him outside, but you'd be totally out of line if you did something like that in this culture, right? So this is talking about a orderly worship, a worship that is full of propriety or being proper. Even the way we dress, I think that has something to do with order. I think lately, especially today, we have this whole like idea of express yourself and dress however you want, come as you are. And some people come in clothing that is kind of inappropriate and makes people look and distract them from worship. That's exactly what Paul is saying for us not to do. Stop thinking about us and stop thinking about what we want to do, but be more proper. Follow certain things that are right in terms of tradition with a certain meaning behind it. So that's what Paul is trying to tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you look at this passage, the very interesting thing about here is God wants us to express our feelings. I think he desires for us to express our opinions, but not at the cost of disrupting order or disrupting worship. I think that's the main thing here. I'll give you an example. This is actually very relevant to today. More and more, churches are being very multidimensional in its expression of worship. Some people or some denominations quietly worship. Some are more expressive in worship. But more and more contemporary churches, they're allowing the quiet worshipers and the expressive worshipers to coexist. Our ministry is kind of like that. However you want to worship the Lord, we allow them to come and worship the Lord. However, there were a few that were coming from a certain line of churches and denominations where they were overly expressive, and then it was starting to disrupt certain people's concentration towards God. And so we had to figure certain things out, because I didn't want them to not express their worship before the Lord, but we needed to figure something out where we could all coexist. And so basically what we did was we asked that person, hey, I know you're always up in the front, and I understand, I get that, but for the sake of not being distracting to other people, would you be willing, you could do whatever you want, you can kneel, you could put your hands up, you could jump up and down, but would you be willing to do that more towards the back so that you're not a distraction to the people in the front? And this person was willing. Very interesting. I mean, there's so many things that we need to be mindful about, even when we are worshiping. Are we distracting people? Are we contributing to the order, or are we contributing to the disorder? Are we contributing to people focusing on worship or being distracted from worship? I think we need to think about all those things, even in our way of dressing, the way we present ourselves, whatever we do. I think we are called to bring a unified, orderly worship before the Lord. So with that, let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this message. Very interesting thing to think about. I think oftentimes we're so focused on our way or our styles of worship and our way of living life. However, you call us to be mindful and to bring order and to bring unity even within worship. Lord, help us to be those who bring that order. Help us to be those who contribute to that order and to contribute to the goodness of a unified worship. We thank you for all the things that we thought about today. We pray that we would implement them as you are convicting us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching further and stepping in closer, see Jesus.